Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Parents are often challenged knowing how to set limits with their special needs kids. Today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 10, is called Setting Limits with Your Special Needs Teen. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW. And that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And today we're talking about the challenges of holding special needs kids accountable to high standards. It's a question submitted by Jennifer of Oslo, Norway. Please know this is an educational podcast to give you great strategies for achieving your dream of a healthy and happy family. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, Jennifer writes, I've purchased your book and find your ideas to make a lot of sense. However, my daughter has just received an Asperger's syndrome diagnosis. You have a chapter that addresses ADHD and learning disabilities, but nothing there about potential adaptations for a child with high-functioning, mild autism. Is the approach you would recommend the same as the one for ADHD and LD? I'm afraid of the stress that the talk and the resulting risk of losing or actually losing privileges might unleash for my daughter. She had a breakdown in May and is doing better but is still vulnerable. Well, Jennifer, I so much appreciate your question since so many parents struggle with the challenge of finding the right balance of support and making allowances for their kids with special needs issues on the one hand, and then holding them accountable to appropriately high standards on the other. Well, first let's take a look at what you're calling Asperger's syndrome or high functioning mild autism, and then let's take a look at your situation. Well, Asperger's syndrome is what we used to call mild to moderate autism. And now autism is seen as being on a continuum or a spectrum from mild to moderate to severe. So in medical terms, it's referred to as autism spectrum disorder. And autism spectrum disorder, or ASD, is a developmental disorder. It's present at birth. It's often diagnosed at about age 2 or 3. It's characterized by difficulties with verbal and nonverbal communications, so it shows up as kids struggling and not engaging normally with social interaction. There can also be issues with intellectual disability, motor coordination, and attention. It's much more prevalent with boys than with girls. An estimated 1 out of every 42 boys and 1 out of every 189 girls are diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder in the United States. Now, some on the spectrum excel in visual skills, music, math, and art. Temple Grandin, for instance, is a famous example. Now, she's an animal scientist and a leading voice for helping us understand how animals think, act, and feel. And she's authored many books on the subject. She's very influential, and she's written books on the subject of autism as well. And some believe that Mozart was on the spectrum. So let's not think of our kids with ASD as disabled. Let's think of them as differently abled. Jennifer, I've worked with many kids and families of kids on the spectrum and have helped families put structures in place that have been very helpful to these kids. In general, I found that kids and teenagers with high functioning ASD do very well when they know the expectations and have the necessary support structures in place. But all kids are individuals. So if a kid has learning disabilities, ADHD, or autism spectrum disorder, or any other issue, they are still individuals with their own strengths and weaknesses, their own interests, their own personalities and temperaments, and they come from different families with different dynamics and different parenting approaches. So I suspect that your daughter's breakdown has to do with something very different or in addition to her spectrum disorder. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by breakdown, and I don't know your daughter's age, but let me make some assumptions that might be close. I'm going to guess that your daughter is a middle school or perhaps high school freshman age teen at the oldest. And given that she's only recently been diagnosed, It tells us that she's very high functioning on the spectrum, or she would have been caught a lot earlier on. Now, the fact that she had a breakdown and seems emotionally fragile to you leads me to guess that she has a very sensitive nature, and so that she feels things quite strongly, but given her spectrum issues, she would not have innate skills for understanding why people would be responding to her, treating her the ways they do, nor would she have good skills for dealing with her peers when they do treat her in certain ways. And kids can be particularly unkind and sometimes even brutal during early adolescence. So these things could put her at a disadvantage for dealing with her social world and put her at a disadvantage for dealing with her parents' expectations and for dealing with her own feelings and her own emotional needs. Your not knowing that she was on the spectrum could have added to your confusion about the best ways to support her. In other words, she's been a challenging kid to raise, and I'll bet you're at least mildly burned out by it all. On the one hand, you want her to move forward, deal with responsibilities, do healthy things such as socialize, exercise, schoolwork, and yet she's continually resistant, and then you end up feeling left with the choice of letting go of standards or upsetting her, and perhaps upsetting the whole family as well. So in a situation like this, we have a kid's worst qualities running the whole family. Now, Jennifer, I've invented this scenario because it's one I've seen dozens of times. Whether the issue is depression, anxiety, high-functioning autism, ADHD, parents often become deferential to the issue. And then it empowers the problem rather than empowering the individual to manage and address the problem. And then often when therapists are involved, parents go hands off and wait for the therapy to work, quote unquote, yet without accountability, there will be no behavioral change. Accountability is a critical feature of parent-child and parent-teen relationships. Without it, there is often a very poor launched young adult with ongoing dependency on their parents. So we have to remember that our kids are eventually going to be adults, and we need to help them own, understand, and manage their issues. And that way, they'll have the resilience and the confidence to move forward in their young adulthoods. So it's not if to hold your daughter to high standards, it's how to hold her to high standards. And Jennifer, to your credit, you're wondering how to do that without causing her undue stress. So if you're concerned about setting limits with your daughter and you're walking on eggshells to avoid causing her stress, then we have to assume there's an active version of a control battle going on. And now with the new diagnosis and her recent breakdown, it sounds like you're being held hostage to her issues. And in a sense, she is as well. So let's starve this beast of a control battle. Step one is to be extremely positive, empathetic, and warm. Review her strengths. Remember, she's differently abled, not disabled, so those areas where she's not only impaired, where she stands out needs to be featured. Step two is to know in your heart that she can manage her responsibilities and she can earn her privileges by so doing. Let her know that that's how it works for all kids, all teenagers. And while she might be sensitive and she might have other challenges, it would be insulting to her to treat her like a child and assume she can't do things when she perfectly well can. And kids, when we remind kids that we want to treat them in an age-appropriate way, often they'll step up and want to be treated in an age-appropriate way. I'd encourage you to engage in a discussion with her about the best ways for her to increase her level of responsibility. In other words, how much prompting and support she's going to need from you and how much she wants to manage on her own. What the accountability will be, in other words, what privileges she'll earn with demonstrated good attitude and good execution of her responsibilities. So the short answer to the question, how do I hold her accountable without stressing her out, is be very positive, be very warm, be very inclusive, but move forward and let her deal with the reality of her responsibilities. She does have to learn to deal with stress. She does have to learn to deal with reality. Now, with accountability to her responsibilities in place, regardless of her issues, spectrum, temperament, or any other issues, she's developing character. And that leads to self-esteem and self-reliance. So parents, let's all remember that our kids are amazing. And if we love and support them, expect their best, require their best, and stay out of control battles, then we'll get their best. And that way, they'll be on their path to success and happiness. Well, thanks for joining me with this important topic today. If you have questions or comments, please contact me. And please remember, take care of yourself. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.